Well, good evening, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well with you. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office. So we are still doing service on Wednesday nights at the church and Sunday mornings at the church, and then recording them in another format. So it's just easier that way in terms of the fact that some people have asked, like, why do you do that? And I think, you know, when we're quoting things in a live service, it's in response to the people that are there. And so when you're not there, there's a lot of things that go on that you can't hear that mic pick up. And so it seems sort of disjointed. And so we thought that this would be better to record them in sort of a podcast format. So tonight we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 32. We are in the second half of Ephesians, where we're talking about Christian living, and tonight we're going to be talking about temperament. Although in our text you're not going to see that word, what Paul is dealing with respect to the subjects in Timothy, or in Galatians here, is Ephesians. I got to get my mind right here. It's in direct correlation to one's temperament. And so defined, temperament means a person or animal's nature, especially as it permanently defines the behavior. You could say she had an artistic temperament, or a violent temperament, or a shy temperament. So the synonyms are a disposition, a nature, a character, a personality, a makeup, a constitution, a complexion, a temper, a mind, a spirit, a frame of mind, a cast of mind, a bent, a tendency, an attitude, an outlook. And I think in controlling one's temper, right, when we talk about that, we all have different temperaments, and I think we all have different things to control. Some people control the fact that they are, inclined to be argumentative, and other people, they're so on the opposite side of that. They wish they were argumentative. They're trying to be more outgoing, but they're not. And so I think everybody in some way, shape, or form is controlling their temperament. And I think just because there may be those of us who have some temperaments that are on the aggressive side, that doesn't mean that the other spectrum of people don't struggle with it as well. They do. So tonight we're going to learn what happens when our temperament is controlled by the Spirit of God, and we're also going to learn what happens when it's not controlled by the Spirit of God. And, you know, many people struggle with this, and I think that Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus because there were situations where he knew that had to be addressed, right? And without the Spirit controlling our temperament, we're going to read about how bad things can get in this particular passage tonight. So we are in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 32. If you have your Bible, turn there now, and we'll begin reading. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may be benefit to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Father, we pray blessing upon your word tonight as we study. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to the church, and specifically what this text means to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. So our motivation for being here tonight, guys, is we are here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you. And that is me, and let's get started with some observations. So there are three different important subjects that this text deals with, and they're not in particular order, so I want to make sure that if you're trying to find an A, B, and C here, it's going to be kind of difficult. But the first one that he talks about is the cause for a bad temperament, and we see that back in verse 26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So all of this is connected. All the instruction past verse 25 is all one continuous thought, because then he says, if you're angry, you're giving yourself a, you're giving the devil a foothold. And then it talks about what happens when you're angry and what you do, the stealing, the unwholesome talk, the, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit, the bitterness, the anger, the brawling, the slander, all of that stuff, right? So the second thing is, so he talks about the cause, which is really anger. It's this uncontrolled situation. And the second thing that he talks about is, you know, what's the result of a bad temperament? As we just went through all of those different sins that we talk about, that come from, what do we do when we're angry, right? What do we do when we don't get our own way? Do we allow the sun to go down on our anger, giving the devil a foothold, and then begin the whole list of sins, stealing and unwholesome talk and grieving the Holy Spirit and bitterness and anger and brawling and slander and, you know, all of these different things? Is that what we do when we allow anger to rule in our hearts? And the answer to that, according to this text, is absolutely. Then the third thing is the way to battle against a bad temperament. And that's in verse 31 and 32. So tonight, let's go back and talk about the first thing. So the cause of a bad temperament in verse 26 is what I call uncontrolled anger, right? It's uncontrolled. And the second thing with that uncontrolled anger is not only is it uncontrolled, but it's prolonged, right? And how do we know that? Well, in your anger, it says, do not sin. So the anger, in your anger, that part is not a problem. That is a spiritual thing that we have. It is an attribute that comes from God. Being angry is not the problem. It's the do not sin part. And then bigger than that is, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And what he's still saying is, don't prolong those periods of anger. Deal with them quickly. Because if you do not prolong those feelings of anger, or if you do prolong them, it's going to lead you to other things, and the devil's going to have a foothold, right? That's exactly what he's saying here. So the second thing is the sins of a bad temperament. And, you know, he says, look, when you're angry and you want your own way, you tend to not be truthful about things, right? And I think we put off, when it says put off falsehood, I think when we're angry, we lie to ourselves. That's the biggest sort of problem, is we see things in light of anger. We don't see them in truth. And we're not being completely and totally honest with each other, more importantly, you know, ourselves. So he says, when that happens, you open the door to the enemy, or you give him a foothold. And then it says that you start stealing, right? And I'm not talking about going in the store and stealing things. It's just you're living a life of anger, and you're stealing. You could be stealing anything. You could be stealing from the government. You could be stealing from the fact that you're not the employee that you should be, that you become lazy, that you become distracted, because you have a reason. The world has made you angry, and you have the reason to just sit and do nothing. Boy, is this really pertinent to the day in which we live in, right? There's a lot of people that are stealing things right now because they're angry. We see this. I understand that you're angry over racial division, but it doesn't give you the right to go and break down a Target and steal everything in there because you're mad at the United States because of the way that we've dealt with race. That doesn't make sense. That's specifically what he's talking about here. Then he talks about corrupt speech coming out of your mouth. And that's not just cuss words. It's things that we say to tear people down. It's gossip and slander and all the things that we do when we're angry, right? We want to bring everybody down to our level. Instead of elevating ourselves above that, right? So, and then there's grieving the Holy Spirit. And, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit is, God is a parent. And those of you that are parents can totally identify when your child does something to grieve you. When you're around a bunch of other moms or dads and your child does something so horrific that you just put your head in your hands because you're grieved, you're embarrassed, you're ashamed, right? And that's what we do to the Spirit. And then he says, bitterness. Again, that's what happens over a prolonged time. You're not bitter in a day. Bitterness takes a while to grow. The rage and the anger come from uncontrolled. You're out of control. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, gentleness, I think is in there, self-control. When you're exercising self-control, you're not enraged by anger or brawling. And slander and malice, he says, to get rid of. But those things are all things that happen when our temperament is out due to the fact that we have not dealt with our anger properly. So the way to battle back is in verse 31 and 32. And it's our job to fight against a bad temperament. And so the first thing he says is speak the truth. In other words, stop lying. Don't promote falsehood. And speak the truth, remember, in love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth about yourself in love. Speak your truth to others when they're ready in love. And the second thing is to nip the anger in the bud. And the third is to don't empower the enemy, because that's what you do. You and I give the enemy a foothold. In other words, we offer him a way in. We offer him a way into the boat. We offer him a way into our home. We offer him a way into our life by empowering the enemy, right? And it says work and give. And a lot of times I think that, I have young kids and I'm trying to get them out into the work world. One of them is working, the other one's looking. And from time to time, they've all been looking, but, get out and work. And for me, I just want them out of the house. I want them doing something productive. But this gives a specific reason. It says so that you can have money to give. God wants you to be a giver. You can't be a giver if you don't have, right? So that's one way to look at it. But another thing, too, is when you're working and you're giving, you have less time to focus on things that make you angry, less time to focus on things that you can't change. And, right now, if we're busy working, the busier that I am, the less I'm more inclined to watch politics and to be engaged in that, and the less anger that I have, right? It still is craziness going on, but I'm not engaged because I'm too busy. So beneficial speech that lifts up, right? And we have to be spirit sensitive, guys. We cannot grieve the spirit. We know it grieves the spirit. We cannot be engaged in those activities at all. And it says, get rid of or put away the sin that so easily ensnares us, right? Be compassionate and forgiving. These are all ways that we battle against a bad temperament. And these are all things that we do to walk in the Spirit and fight really for our walk in the Spirit. So our temperament, and let's interpret this morning or this evening, the interpretation of this regarding our temperament has... it's been a struggle from the beginning, and that's the first point. This is a age-old problem. And where do we see it? We see it with Cain and Abel, right? Cain didn't get his way. He didn't get the acceptance that he wants, and what does he do? In his anger, he kills his brother, and then he lies about it, and then he acts and looks at God like, I'm not his keeper. This is not my fault. And that changed the course of history right there. The same thing that Adam and Eve did. God said, don't eat from the tree, and for whatever reason, they had decided to give the enemy a foothold, and look what happened. It's never been the same since. The Bible has a lot to say about the importance of controlling one's temper. It calls a person who is, one who loses his temper in Proverbs a fool. And Ecclesiastes describes someone who can't control himself as a city whose walls are broken down, Proverbs 25, verse 28. A person with a hot temper is at odds with those around him, and they become easily offended, and they lash out in anger, even at the slightest thing, right? Proverbs 15:18 talks about that. As children of God, we're called to love one another, obviously. The Gospel of John 13:35, Ephesians 4:2, and 31 and 32, and to be at peace. We have to be at peace with others in understanding that love covers a multitude of sins, and a person who maintains a calm and even temperament is quicker to forgive and better able to live at peace with others. You're not going to live, especially in this day and age in which we live, you can choose to be the ones that are filled with anger. They don't know what to do with it, so they destroy property, they destroy people, they destroy everything, and that's not helping. The things that they want to change have to change in our legislation and the way we write laws and the way that we conduct ourselves, not by violence. It doesn't solve anything. It's a person who is out of control who behaves that way, right? And our response to those people should not be anger. Our response should be love. Yes, we have a righteous anger, but we need to love them. They're doing this because they've allowed their temperament to go into an area that God did not call us to go there. Number two, our weapons are mighty in controlling our temperament. So with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we sort of have the ability to really work against all of this anger and rage that's going to come up, right? And some of the fruits of the Spirit are peace and patience and self-control in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. And these things are essential, right, for controlling the tendency to lose our temper or to have a bad temperament. In fact, the Greek word translated patience is long-suffering. It has this idea of long burning, right? In other words, we get mad, but we don't blow up. It's a long fuse. As we grow in Christ, we should continue to deal appropriately with anger. And it's no short fuses. I mean, that's just the way it is. We got to react in love and in patience with each other. So those are the weapons. And then in the third point in really finding out what this means is our pride negatively impacts our temperament. And this is the problem, right? We often feel justified in losing our temper, you know, and especially when someone has hurt us or offends us. But when we are instructed to forgive, according to Matthew 5, verse 44, and not to yield to that anger or to seek vengeance, it's ultimately God's prerogative to punish evildoers, according to Romans 12 and Deuteronomy 32. An example of this forgiveness is right in front of us in Jesus when he's hanging on the cross, right? He could have easily wiped everybody out. Instead, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. So application tonight. You guys, the first thing here in application is we really need to practice righteousness and this righteous anger to combat our out-of-control temperament, right? It's important to note that anger is a valid emotion and it's not always sinful. I want you to remember that. And God allows us, to have righteous anger. The righteous anger, number two, is that we have should be the proper focus. It should be the proper motivation. It's the proper control. It's the proper duration. It's the proper result. You know, our problem in number three here is our temper is often motivated by selfishness and directed toward other people instead of the sin. And that's why God tells us, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and passion and rage and bad temper and resentment and animosity be banished from you. That's the amplified version of the text that we read tonight. With God's help, we can keep our temper and our temperament in check. But this is a work that you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do in you. What do you do when you're angry? Where do you go? That next step after you know and have experienced the fact that you are in full-blown anger, the next step you take is the most important step. Where do you go with that? Do you run toward a sin? Do you run toward a way to numb your feelings? How do you respond? That's the issue. Some of us drink. Some of us get involved in behavior that's not appropriate, and we're soothing. And in doing that, you've given the devil a foothold, and you're prolonging this anger, and all these sins are going to come along with it. It's just a matter of time. So the instruction for Christian living here, guys, is part two of our series. And the main thing that I wanted you to get out of this evening is that your temperament is important. And if the Spirit is helping you to control your temperament, you will have victory. If you leave that controlling up to you, you will have failure. It's that simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you listen to this program today, you may even not know how you got here, but you're here. I want to encourage you. The Bible says that all you need to do is to be saved is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And once you pray that prayer for him to come in and change you, you surrender your life to him. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. You are now engaged in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit that control who you are as an individual, and your life will radically change. There's no question about it. And if you made that decision, find the phone number on our website, give us a call, and let us know what you have decided so that we may rejoice with you. If you listen normally, he has shown you, O man and O woman and me, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that now. God bless, guys.